One of the great arguments for why the Bible is truly the Word of God, in my estimation, is because it doesn't try to disguise nor conceal the great difficulties that are often associated with the Christian life. In other words, the Bible deals honestly, very honestly, about the harsh realities of living in a broken and fallen and sin-filled world. If there's anything you would know if you've read God's Word, you would readily recognize that the Scriptures are at times shockingly honest, surprisingly honest, about the dark valleys that seem to punctuate the lives of some of the greatest heroes of the faith, the most faithful men and women that we find in Scripture. Nowhere do we find in God's Word where God's Word embellishes or dresses up the life of faith to make the Christian life seem more palatable or attractive or appealing for unbelievers. It's just as my pastor would often say to me and my peers in my youth group, he's sitting here, but I would often hear, don't be a Christian if you want an easy life. If you want an easy and comfortable life, Christianity is not for you. But much more importantly and far weightier than his words are the words of our Savior Jesus, who said to his disciples, and many of you know this, in John 15, he says, if the world hates you, you must know that it hated me before it hated you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, I promise, surely, they will also persecute you. And this is true of the 13th Psalm, as it very clearly demonstrates for us that the life of faith, Christian living at its best, climbs high mountains as well as walks dark valleys, just as it was with our Savior. Now, there may be some of you in here tonight who can very personally and intimately relate to David, who again is the author of the psalm. You might know exactly how it feels to have your heart weighed down and burdened by anguish and sorrow. Perhaps you found yourself, maybe even today, this morning, maybe later tonight, like David, crying out four times, how long, O Lord? How long, O Lord? How long? How long? Maybe you more recently lost a job. For others, maybe it's the loss of a relationship. Maybe the loss of health. But perhaps for others, this is something you've never experienced in your life. And you have no idea what we're talking about. You have no idea why David's agonizing. To which I would say to you that if you are a Christian believer today, it's inevitable that at some point in your life that you will find yourself in a dark valley. And I say this not to discourage nor dishearten you, but I say this because the Bible says it. Acts 14, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. But whether you've experienced many trials of various kinds to none, we can at least prepare ourselves today for when it might please the Lord in his good sovereign providence to bring us into a dark valley. And so what we have here tonight in this 13th Psalm is a map, is a guide on how to navigate through life's dark valleys. There are a few things that David highlights for us to consider together tonight. Firstly, notice how David refuses to allow his demoralizing circumstance to drive him away from the Lord. He refuses to be detracted from his Savior. Rather, we find that David takes his anguish directly to God in prayer. And notice, David doesn't go to prayer to God because he feels like it, but he goes to the Lord in prayer because he knew he needed to. Verse 3, consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Enlighten my eyes. In other words, David throws himself to God, not because his eyes were already enlightened, but because his vision was blurred. David, he goes to the Lord, not because he could see, but because he couldn't see. David goes to the Lord, not because he understood what was happening, but because he didn't understand anything and why the things that he was going through were happening. He was at a loss for words. You see, David goes to the Lord in prayer because he trusted God more than he did himself and his feelings. Brothers and sisters, how many times, if we are honest with ourselves, do we find ourselves restraining and constraining ourselves from rightly going to the Lord in prayer? Simply because we don't feel like it. I don't feel like it. I just don't have that feeling. How many times do we find ourselves justifying our lack of prayer, our lack of communion with the Lord, all because our emotions aren't fully there, because it doesn't, and perhaps you've said this, it doesn't feel genuine. But beloved, we don't do things. Christians don't do things solely because we feel like it, do we? Because if that were the case, we would almost never go to the Lord in prayer. We would never go to the Lord for help, to plead with him, help. You've promised help. Christians don't go to God because we feel like it, but we go to God because we need to go to God. We go to God because it's right and safe and good and best. Another way to put it, we go to God not because we are faithful, but we necessarily draw near and commune with the Lord because he is faithful. Now, I'm sure it's true as it is for me, but we can very easily make prayer into something that's very routine and colorless and cold and lifeless. But what we need to understand and realize every day when we do pray, we need to recognize that prayer is one of God's chosen means of grace. God has ordained, he has gifted for us, ordained for us means by which he ministers to and blesses his church, his people. And to neglect those means is to cut ourselves off from those graces. All this to say, brothers and sisters, we need to be in the business of cultivating holy habits. We need to work diligently in cultivating holy habits. Not because we want to, but because, again, we need to. And one of God's most favored means of grace is drawing near to him through prayer. Because in prayer, like David, we express and confess our absolute dependency upon God. While on the other hand, if you continue to neglect the grace of prayer, if you neglect the grace of prayer, you can be sure that the evil one will continue to do his hellish utmost to keep you from prayer. The evil one will do all that he can do to keep you from private prayer, from family prayer and corporate prayer. Why? Because he hates to see even the weakest of saints laying hold of an omnipotent and sovereign God. William Cooper, and perhaps we'll sing this hymn soon, but William Cooper, he writes in his hymn, Exhortation to Prayer, restraining prayer we cease to fight. Prayer makes the Christian's armor bright. And Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. And so David, as he prayed to the Lord, much grace, sustaining and empowering grace was given to him. And by the time he finishes praying, if you look down at the text, we find that David's no longer sighing, but we find him at the end of this psalm, we find him singing. He goes from sighing to singing. Beloved, if you find yourselves in a dark valley, the first thing we must all do is to take our anguish before the Lord in prayer. Then secondly, David demonstrates for us that in the midst of struggle, believers need God's presence more than deliverance. Again, verse 3, consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Enlighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. More than David praying to the Lord to give him insight and understanding as to what was happening, I think David here is praying that the Lord would give him a felt sense of his presence, that he would give himself more than deliverance. Of course, David would pray for deliverance. I mean, anybody would pray for deliverance if they're going through it. But more than deliverance, David wants the Lord. It's as if he's saying, Lord, enlighten my eyes with yourself. Help me to see you, lest I be swallowed up in despair and sleep the sleep of death. And David prays like this because he knows that at the end of the day, what's going to sustain him, what's going to help him overcome and defeat God's enemies is undeterred faithfulness. Friends, isn't it true that if you are a Christian tonight, isn't it true that what amazes and brings a sense of wonder, a sense of otherworldliness to an unbelieving watching world, is not how much we know or how well we can defend and answer the great questions and mysteries of life. But what does amaze and what brings a sense of wonder to unbelievers is how Christian men and Christian women are able to rise above and stay undeterred in their faith and trust in the Lord in the highs and especially the lows. You see, victory over the enemy is not claimed by going through life unscathed and unbothered. Living a perfect life isn't victory. But it's about going through life with hearts solely fixed upon the Savior. That's victory. Victory in the Christian life isn't merely achieved by coming up on top of the mountain, but it's by looking to Christ. In other words, our victory, brothers and sisters, isn't found in situational outcomes. Rather, our victory is found in a person. It's found in the person, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And this is how the Christian navigates through dark valleys. This is why, despite being in the greatest of trials and tribulations, why Christian men and Christian women are able to worship the Lord. Have you ever wondered how can that person, he just lost the love. How is he singing? How is he praising God? This then leads us to the third point, verse 5. But I have trusted in your mercy. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. This psalm teaches us that who God is and what God has done for us creates hope in the midst of despair. As David turns his eyes away from his circumstances and he considers and he remembers who God is and what God has done, David begins to sing. Christians sing. Christians are the people of God who sing. There are three things to briefly mention that facilitated his worship. First, David remembers that the Lord is merciful. He recalls God's covenant faithfulness. In a sense, David is pleading God's own character here to him. It's as if he's saying, Lord, I trust you. I trust you because you are trustworthy. I trust you because your love and mercy is unfailing. I trust you because I know you will never fail me. You will never fail yourself. And friends, this is what we need to do whenever we find ourselves in a dark valley. Not to be distracted by our circumstances as we've been taught over and over again through the Psalms. not to look to our own circumstance, but to look to God's character, to look to Christ. But not only does David remember the Lord's mercy, but he also remembers that God saves sinners. Friends, however dark and uncomfortable and miserable your circumstance may be, we must always remember that in Jesus Christ, we must always remember that we are saved men and saved women. And this is one of the great encouragements to our souls, that if you are a Christian believer tonight, though you may be engulfed by dark valleys and overwhelming circumstances, you are the most blessed being in the universe. Christians are the most blessed beings in the universe. Spurgeon, he puts it this way, that you are called a Christian is enough to set all your nature on a blaze with joy. Beloved, do you recognize the great privilege that is yours to be called a Christian? Do you wear it with a badge of honor? To be a man or woman saved from sin? To which, if I can quote another, John Bunyan, who knew very well what it meant to walk through dark valleys, to which he writes, "O sinner, what sayest thou? How dost thou like being saved? Doth not thy mouth water? Doth not thy heart twitter at being saved?" Do you feel that? Then lastly, David remembers God's past goodness as he says, "I will sing to the Lord." David looks back, and by looking back to the Lord who has been kind to him, and as he looks back, he doesn't allow his circumstance, the present circumstances, to blot out God's goodness. Present troubles have a way. It does. It has a way of giving us spiritual amnesia. We are far too easily forgetful of the past goodness of the Lord. But not only present troubles, but we might even argue present peace and comfort. But as we come to a close, I'm sure some of us are currently again in the midst of some dark valleys today. Perhaps the Lord in His sovereign providence is allowing you, again, hear this, He's allowing you to go through hardships and trials of various kinds, not because He despises you, but because He simply wants you to remember Him. He does so not to reprimand you, but to refine you. He does this not to provoke you, but to purify you, to mold you into the image and likeness of His Son. Perhaps it would be fitting to end by saying, whether you're walking high on the mountains or walking down low in the dark valleys, the Christian goal always remains the same. The Christian goal remains the same in whatever station you are in life. And the goal is to simply do this, to look to Christ. Remember Christ. Take hold of Christ, trust and obey Him, even and especially when we do not understand. Trust in Him when nothing makes sense. But this is faith, isn't it, friends? That's what faith is. This is exactly what faith is. Faith is the certainty of knowing something to be true based upon what God has spoken to us through His Word. He has said it, so I take hold of that. Faith looks not to worldly wisdom, not to worldly logic, but faith, it looks to the infallible, eternal Word of God, and as it looks to Him, it clings to Him with a grip that says, "I will never let you go." I want to end with the song that we will respond with later today. "Christ our wisdom, be our gladness when we fail to understand. You ordain all joy and sadness to fulfill your perfect plan. Help us know you rule with power over every raging flood in our most uncertain hour. You are God, and we are loved." Let's pray. Oh Lord, we confess that we are often living our lives with spiritual amnesia, forgetting all the great privileges that are ours in our Savior Jesus, losing sight of the profound privileges that are ours simply by way of being called the children of God, of being called Christians. And so, Lord, help us to take hold of and live out these great privileges, not by looking to those privileges, but by looking to our heavenly Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.